This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 341. In this episode, AC sat down with MVP Mark Rackley of the Pay Group to catch up on Microsoft 365 development and the current state that we're in. Recorded live, December the 12th, 2019. Thanks to our sponsor, Nintex. If you could score an extra hour or two back in your day, wouldn't you take it? Because our friends at Nintex want to give you a gift. The gift of time. Seriously, if you haven't checked out what Nintex has to offer lately, you should. The platform built on Azure has evolved a lot. In just the past few months, the Nintex team has added new process mapping capabilities and most recently a new e-sign capability called Nintex Sign, powered by Adobe Sign. Nintex also continues to revolutionize products that you know and trust, including Nintex Workflow and Forms. With the power of Nintex, it is faster and easier for you to configure, not code, giving you valuable time back every day to spend it how you want. Test drive the Nintex Process Cloud at Nintex.com. Hello, everybody. This is Andrew. I am recording solo today. Actually, I sat down at a recent conference at the SP Fest conference in Chicago with an MVP, a fellow MVP, Mark Rackley, who's been on the show before. Mark and I have been trying to catch up over the last month or two to catch up on this topic and to kind of reflect on some of the latest news and other things that have been going on in the industry lately. And we tried to do it back at the Microsoft Ignite conference. We tried to also do it at the European SharePoint conference in Prague in early December. And then the third conference we were both at together at the SP Fest conference in Chicago, we finally were able to carve out some time and Mark sat down with me to catch up on some things. We wanted to talk about the most recent news that had come out in the Microsoft 365 development space, including some of the Power Platform stuff that was announced around the Ignite conference. We wanted to talk about some of the other things too, around Teams development, some of the things that he's seen from Pay Group, the organization that he's involved with. And also we wanted to catch up on just general SharePoint development and M365 development topics and some observations that we've both kind of seen catching up. This is a bit of a quick episode here. I guess we sat down, the interview was a little bit longer, but this isn't a typical episode. I'm actually recording this on Christmas Eve here in the United States. I guess Christmas Eve around the world. We know we wanted to get this out. CJ and I are taking some time off after we've both been, I know it seems like we've taken some time off from each other, but we're taking some time off this week and to spend some time with our families on this holiday week. And also with New Year's coming up, we will be back together in our next episode, in episode 342. That's crazy. We're already up to episode 342 almost. But today I wanted to sit down and just have a nice little chat with Mark Rackley and get caught up on it. So by the time this reaches your ears, it will have already been Christmas. So I guess I just say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you, and Happy New Year to everybody, and wishing you a happy and prosperous and a positive and healthy 2020. So until then, we will see you guys next year. This episode is brought to you by AvePoint. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. But does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery from individual items to entire sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. This episode is sponsored by ShareGate. For those of us familiar with ShareGate, we know that they've always been all about SharePoint and Office 365 migration. But now that we've moved to the cloud, like me, you're probably thinking about how to scale your Office 365 to a full self-service environment without worrying about the thousands of groups and teams popping up out of nowhere, aka sprawl. That's where the folks at ShareGate developed ShareGate Apricot. It's a solution that helps us automate our Office 365 group governance by allowing us to collaborate with users to keep everyone accountable for the things that they create. Their super simple to use in-app experience lets us lighten our load by delegating group management responsibilities to users that we trust, aka no more sprawl. Want to get your hands on ShareGate Apricot? Try it for free for 30 days at ShareGate.com/cloudshow. And now back to the show. Mark Rackley, thanks for joining me on my podcast today.
Hey, Andrew Connell. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners. I'll introduce myself first to the people who are here at the conference. We're doing a live show here from the SharePoint Fest conference in Chicago. It's supported in the second week of December. Second week of December, yeah, it is absolutely crazy cold, at least from somebody from Florida. It's pretty darn cold.
I like it.
You like it?
I love cold.
I don't like it this cold. I like it as cold as it was on Monday when it was like in the 40s. But this whole, what is it now? It's outside. Oh, it's 33 now, so it's warmed up from the 17 from yesterday.
I prefer the 17 to the 33.
Do you really?
I do. I just, you can keep putting clothes on. At some point, you have to stop taking them off.
Well, so. I guess that is a good point. You can definitely do that. So this is the Microsoft Cloud Show. I'm not here with my usual co-host. I think I've leveled up today. I appreciate you joining us.
I can try to do a Kiwi accent. I'm not sure if I can pull it off.
It's all the funny phrases that he busts out with that we can't, I never can figure out.
How does that even go? It's not Australian. It's...
Oh, man, you want to get under his skin. Yeah, call Australia.
Hey, CJ, you want to throw another shrimp on the barbie?
You're the second person who's tried to do that to him in, like, the last couple weeks. Rob Windsor tried to do that when he was on vacation. It's kind of funny because, I mean, by the time this episode comes out, he and I will have recorded another show together. But at this point, we haven't been together on the show for, I think it's been a solid month now.
Oh.
It's been quite a while now by the time we get there. But, yeah, we'll have been four shows. But at any rate, why don't you introduce yourself first for our listeners, anybody who... like the two or three people that have not heard of Mark Rackley.
So for the dozens of people who have not heard of me, my name is Mark Rackley. I've been in the SharePoint world, how I kind of got started, how I met you over 10 years ago. I'm currently a partner at a SharePoint and Office 365 consulting firm called PayGroup. Mm-hmm. So we do all things wonderfully related to SharePoint and Office 365. I'm a Microsoft MVP. My blog at markrackley.net. I originally started blogging under the moniker of SharePoint Hillbilly, which I didn't put a lot of thought into that because, you know, I would meet people and they'd be like, oh, hey, it's nice to meet you. And I'd say, I'm Mark. I'm like, Mark? And I'd say, oh, SharePoint Hillbilly. I go, oh, yeah. So I didn't think that one all the way through.
Yeah.
I have a podcast of my own. It's called techsplaining.net. It's actually me and three other MVPs, Rob Foster, Brett Lonsdale, and Stephanie Donahue. Mm-hmm. I've created a form solution that's open source for people to use for free because I loathe InfoPath with every fiber of my being. It's called Stratus Forms, and you can find out more about that at stratusforms.com.
Cool. Very cool. You and I have tried to get together now and sit down and have this conversation. I think it's been three times. This is the third time now in the last month or month and a half. This is the last conference for the two of us over the last... month and a half, or for the year.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Hopefully it's the last trip. I know you've got one more trip. I've got a personal trip later this year, but yeah, I'm sick of hotels. I'm ready to be home. But we tried to get together at Ignite, and of course, plans, both of us got pulled in different directions. Last week, we were both in Prague over in Europe for another conference, the European SharePoint Conference. And then this week, we're here in Chicago at the SP Fest Conference, the annual SP Fest Conference. And it's nice to finally have a chance to sit down with you and have a good chat here. It's funny because this conference, it seems, is where, maybe not this one specifically, Seattle seems, the Seattle one has a little bit more of the tone to it, but people think that you and I don't like each other. That's always a fun thing. Attendees don't think we like
don't.
Each other.
I might have an antagonistic personality, and I may rib you, and your reaction may be to like give it back an equal portion.
Yeah.
And so people don't necessarily understand that.
They take it a bit seriously.
Yeah.
They think we're being serious when they do it. So like we come in, it was funny because I would have somebody come in my session and be like, why doesn't Mark like you? And I'm like, oh, he's just so jaded and just such a jerk. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then you walk over there and like, why does AC say bad things about you? You're like going, oh my God, he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're going to fix that because the next time there's an SP Fest, you and I are sitting down and doing a full day workshop, but we're doing it together.
Right.
That's going to be fun.
That'll be the first time we've actually done that together too, right?
Yeah, this is going to go epically well or epically bad. I think we'll have a great time, but I hope the conference likes the outcome from it.
It'll be entertaining. We just can't say if it'll be successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it'd be interesting if we can get cocktails out late in the afternoon, like in the last like 2 hours of the show. That might be... that could get interesting. That actually could be. Now that I think about it, that actually be a very bad idea.
Why don't we start? So I think we should start it with that.
Well, we can have mimosas at the beginning, and then we just bust out a bottle of wine, like, you know, about 2:30 or something.
So you know, you go to the wine pairings. Each part of our workshop has a wine pairing that goes with it. I think this could work. This could boost our attendance too.
So. I'll have to go talk to Dave about this and see if this is a good idea or not. So hey, let's take a step back. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about about at Ignite. And I wanted to find out just some of the big announcements. I guess that was the last big time that Microsoft had, you know, the real big announcements for this year. We saw a lot of stuff come out back in early November. What was some of the things that really jumped out to you as being, that were pertinent, that you thought were important?
Well, the things that I guess come to mind are going to be the obvious ones that people have been asking for a long time, like finally the private channels for Teams.
Yep.
I mean, that was probably one of the bigger announcements, and people are uberly excited about that. So mm-hmm. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm one of those people who don't know if we actually ever really needed private channels in Teams. I think there are other ways to accomplish the same thing without creating all the additional artifacts. So, but that's my personal beliefs, you know, that rarely...
They don't factor our personal beliefs
exactly.
in all that much.
I don't get that. I don't know why.
I tried that with the SharePoint team, too, on the SharePoint framework stuff, and they go to add a new feature, and it's like, yeah, I really wish you guys wouldn't focus on this. And like, well, I mean, everybody else wants it. I'm like, yeah, it's still a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, another big announcement was the Fluid framework, and I actually got to see that at the Dev Kitchen for the Ignite, so I'd played with that, got my hands on it, and it's an extremely interesting concept. I am just highly curious to see how it's going to be used in the real world.
So that's, I was going to ask you that. So what's your take? I mean, so the Fluid framework, for those who aren't familiar with it, is it's really a co-authoring framework that it looks like to me Microsoft needed it because their existing co-authoring framework wasn't very, it had some scale issues, but it also had some reach issues in terms of where it could be used. It was great, like Word inside of Word and then Excel inside of Excel, but it wasn't so much of like Word across Word to Excel or a web page to another web page. Or now, I mean, we were seeing where you can do co-authoring from a web page into like an email or vice versa. That doesn't sit right with me. An email to me is immutable. And when, if I'm reading an email and then I go back to it later and the email has changed, that just, something doesn't seem right to me.
Oh yeah, I agree. So like you said, it's an interesting thought. I can see Microsoft created this technology because they needed it. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, let's just release this to, you know, the community and let them use it as well.
That's how I see it too.
And you know, essentially, you know, for those who are still kind of not quite understanding what it is, think about creating a web part using the SharePoint framework, then dropping that web part onto a web page, dropping that same web part into a Word document, dropping that same web part into an email, and it's a live web part. So if you make a change to that web part in the email, it's going to reflect in all the places that web part was added. It's like a really interesting co-authoring, collaborative experience, real-time collaboration, no matter what surface you're on.
Right.
But like you were saying, what if you're collaborating on a budget spreadsheet that's in an email, and the CEO opens up that email and says, oh, here's our budget for next year, and then 5 minutes later, it changes because someone updated some content, and now there's no longer one version of truth.
Kind of reminds you of, War Games, when the guy was changing his grades, and the teacher's watching it, like, right. Live, like, what?
Actually, that's a great use case for it.
To me, Fluid Framework, yeah, it looks like they needed it. They built it. They needed it for a cool co-authoring experience inside of Office 365 or across the Microsoft 365 suite. But the part that is not setting well with me is the piece that they seem to be making this. And the fact, if they needed it and they said, hey, guess what? You can also use in your own solutions. Cool. As a developer, I look at it and say, so let me get this straight. This really just looks like a SignalR or a Socket IO thing, but you guys are handling the whole where data is being stored in the marshalling between the two. Otherwise, I was going to have to write the server-side component that did the marshalling and the communications back, the listening for the messages coming in and posting back to all the connections and storing the data. So it just looks like you guys are doing that for me. And they're like, yeah, pretty much. So I'm like, okay, I get it, I guess, but I don't really see how I would use this the way you've done it inside of a custom solution. And even if I was, this doesn't feel like it's that big of a thing. They seem to be making a big mountain out of a little molehill. Cool feature, something I may end up using, but I'm just like, let's not have this whole session busted out for it. I sat in the session for it at the conference and where they explained it, and the session was over, and I'm just kind of like, okay. And I'm sitting around some of the SharePoint engineering guys, and I'm sitting one of the main guys that owns the Microsoft that owns the, I think he owns this feature, but he owns all the SharePoint framework engineering. And they all kind of like turn around, they're like, so what do you think about it? I'm like, So it's kind of like, I don't get it. And they're all like, mm-hmm. And kind of like, I don't know, it kind of felt like they were almost agreeing with me, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, and there's also the possibility that somebody out there who's much smarter than me is going to think of something astounding to do with it.
There is somebody smarter than you?
There's at least three people in the world smarter than me. One of them's in front of us, you know, Mark. Mark Anderson's one of those people, but that's just because he has age on me and more hair.
Mark's going to really like our conversation we're going to have in just a few minutes,
that
too.
That is true.
I saw him walking over, and I was like, oh, boy, this is going to be good.
You may want to pop up for one of the extra mics.
You might want to get some tomatoes to start throwing in just a minute.
I have to think that there is going to be some extraordinary use case for it.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I look forward to hearing it.
I do too. Okay, so that was Fluid. Did you check out Cortex, Project Cortex?
So Project Cortex was the other huge announcement that's just been like, the amount of volume that people have been echoing since then has been tremendous.
Yep.
And this is another one where it's so big, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you try to explain it to people who can't see it and get their hands on it, it's even hard to explain. But it's finally, the best feature I've seen on a lot of Project Cortex, the thing that I'm most excited about, and I wish that they would make it like available like at the E3 level no matter what, is the ability to bring in an image, like a JPEG, and then extract the data out of that and populate fields in SharePoint with that data. I think that's what people have been asking for forever.
Yeah.
And
doing it in a way that you can train it. That whole thing, what was it called? Like the AI builder?
AI builder, yeah.
Yeah, so you could upload a couple scans of like, let's say like purchase orders. And then you could say like, this area here is the date. And this area here is the address. And this is the purchase order number. And then these are all the line items on the actual purchase order, and how it could learn from that over a couple of them, scan all those things in, and yeah, transpose them straight inside of a list.
That's the huge takeaway for me from Cortex, because it does some other things with the, you know, using AI to build a page, a wiki page, which is pretty cool. But again, you know, how many people are going to take that built page and not want to customize it to death? Everybody's going to want to customize it to death. Okay. There's also the one with the showing the acronyms wherever you are and maybe the information in the cards.
Topic cards.
I think that's cool, but I also think the amount of effort to set that up is going to be pretty extreme. I think for a lot of the things in Cortex, something to keep in mind is you're going to probably need to invest 6 months to a year getting your environment to a point where it can really take advantage of it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be something you can flip on and then I just love this. Except for maybe the, you know, scanning and training the images to get the metadata out.
Yeah, it's going to be curious to see. I agree with you. My first perception of it was, wow, this thing is big. And not only that, I also get the feeling that we are just on the tip of the iceberg. Like this Project Cortex thing is going to be, we're going to see this evolve. Even though it's going to be live, what they said at the beginning, the first half of 2020, calendar year 2020, I got to think that over the next few, you know, 6 months, year, 2 years, they're going to be adding more and more capabilities to this that would, I guess you could put them under the Cortex kind of moniker, but we're gonna still see more and more stuff coming out that it's really impressive. There's a lot of stuff in there that I'm looking forward to as a developer being able to kind of dig into are we gonna have access to it from an API perspective? Am I gonna be able to see how, get access to some of the data that it's extracting, that it's determining on? Am I gonna be able to use that inside my own applications in some way? And kind of like what you alluded to as well, I'm really curious to see how they're going to charge for this. I mean, this is big. There is a play that reaches there's a feature set that, from what I've seen from Cortex, that does seem like it's going to reach everybody in 365. But then there's definitely another set of features in Cortex that are very much enterprise-y that may be only going to be available to the E5s and maybe even the E5s plus another add-on license or something like that. So I'm curious to see where they go with this.
I agree. It's definitely an enterprise tool the way they're presenting it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to get some of those features down to where the mid-market can take advantage of them as well.
Gotcha. So that was the big news and stuff that we saw there. So last week, we were at another conference last week. Got to see a lot of people. What did you speak about at the conference last week?
So yeah, last week was the European SharePoint conference in Prague.
Right.
First time there.
Yeah, same here. Second time, sorry.
I love first of all, if you haven't been to Europe during like the Christmas market season, that's like the coolest thing in the world. So
it was a beautiful city. What limited amount that I got to see, that was absolutely beautiful.
Inexpensive too.
Yeah, no, it was cheap.
That's why I said inexpensive.
Oh sorry, yeah, I thought you said expensive.
The inn was not enunciated.
Yeah, we went out one night and we went out one night. There was a social kind of a thing that I think that we decided to go bail on and go somewhere else. And at the end of the night, we're like, we need to go get an Uber to get back to the hotel room. It was like a 10 or a 15 minute ride back to the hotel. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go. My turn. I'll get a car. So I go to get a car and I'm doing the calculation in my head. I'm like, this is going to be like $2. Like, where's the Uber, like, Lamborghini option right now? I can jump on this right now.
Exactly.
We're all getting cars.
Yeah, an Oprah moment.
Yeah.
You get a car. You get a car.
Everybody gets a car.
So last week, though, I actually spoke about a session that I haven't done in a while, a session on the column formatter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It went shockingly well.
Shockingly well because you delivered it, or just because of the topic?
Yeah, no, it's me. So anything I touch turns to gold. You know this,
right? I see.
Except when you break my session.
How do I? Oh yeah, my bad. I might have broken your session yesterday, right in front of everyone too.
Yeah, that was great. We'll get back to that in a minute. Yeah. So it was on the column formatter. I had a packed room, and it's one of those simple concepts that can get really complicated. So I really tried to break it down in a way that people could understand what's going on with the column formatter, how they can build their own, and then ran through a lot of examples. And I actually got my score this morning, and they told me that I was actually scoring the top 10 sessions.
So, no kidding. What'd you get?
I got a 9.6.
Out of 100? That's really good. Me too. I got a 9.16, but I also...
You left early.
I left my session early. I was sick. It was not... I got sick during my session.
So did most of your attendees.
No, they did not. No, they did not. I could just say being at a conference when you're having the norovirus, that's not fun at all.
Yeah.
I don't think having a norovirus in general is fun, but at a conference in a foreign country, that's not fun.
The second most, like, least fun thing is sharing a car with someone that has a norovirus.
I did never touched you. I never, I kept my distance. You didn't get sick.
I did not, no.
I was generally symptom free by then. Generally.
Generally.
Generally. So that show went well for you?
I did. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully they'll let me come back next year. So
you left a good impression. 9.6 is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, at least we're going to a different country, so not getting back into the country won't be a problem for you.
I appreciate you bringing that up. For those who don't know, I was actually supposed to go to the Thrive Conference in Slovenia like 2 weeks before the European Collaboration Summit.
Yeah.
I go to check into my flight, and it won't let me check in. It keeps throwing an error. So I'm like, what's going on? So I call Delta and I'm like, it's not letting me check in for my flight. And they're like, well, let's, you know, try this here. And like, nope, it's not. And I'm like, well, it took them 20 minutes themselves. And finally they said, well, your passport's not valid. I'm like, what are you talking about? My passport doesn't expire until next February. I'm like, well, no, according to the rules of the country, your passport has to be valid for at least 90 days from your return date of the trip.
Got your pay.
I guess because, you know, by going there, you automatically get a 90-day visa, so...
Oh, so you can't overstay your visa without a valid passport.
Exactly.
That makes sense, okay.
So this was the first time I ever learned this. And it was on a Saturday that I found this out, so...
How much you can do on a Saturday?
No, I can't do anything on a Saturday. I can't do anything on a Sunday. I could usually do something on a Monday, but that Monday was a federal holiday. And the conference started on Tuesday.
Oh, so there's nothing you can
do. I was just out of luck. So.
You know, okay, so it's funny. Well, that's not funny. But what I almost had, I thought I was about to have this exact same experience. So all my passport details are in my LastPass account. And ever pull out my documents, my credit cards or anything, I always go straight to LastPass, where everything is. So when I went to go check in for my flight over to Prague, so this was about a week or two after your experience that you had posted about on Facebook and everybody was giving you all kinds of grief about, I go to check in. And Delta still has my old cached information about my passport. So when I went to go check in, it showed that my passport expired in August of 2019. I looked at it and I was like, oh, shoot. So I then go back into LastPass and I go find my passport. And it too said my passport expired August 2019. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. We can't both be doing this. I go to my bag and all of a sudden you have like that, a little bit of anxiety starts spiking. Go to my bag, pull my passport out. And I remember back in January when I noticed that my passport, I guess late last year, I recognized that my passport was going to expire this year. And so I went back and got my passport renewed back in January. But when I got the passport back, I never went in and updated LastPass or Delta. It was the first international flight that I had taken. So I was like, I was fine. I'm good actually until 2029. But when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have the Mark Rackley effect.
Oh, great. Now it's named after me. Wonderful.
Yeah. So that was a really fun experience. Beautiful city.
Oh, yeah.
People were awesome. This week, we're here at the SP Fest conference. So what are you talking about this week?
So this week, I have something every day. It's like the first day I did a full-day workshop on client-side development in SharePoint.
Yep.
The second day, I did a half-day session on modern SharePoint development.
Okay.
Yesterday, I did a session on the SharePoint framework, and I also did another session with Stephanie Donahue, my business partner, on doing project management in Teams.
Okay.
And then today I have a session on, again, it's Power Apps Flow and talking about use cases we've done with those tools.
Okay.
For business impact. And then tomorrow I have a session on bots, getting started with bots.
You mentioned Power Apps and Flow. There's a pretty significant announcement back at the beginning of November from Microsoft about Power Apps and Flow. I meant to talk about this just a few minutes ago, where they had an epic licensing change for Power Apps and Flow. They've got a lot of grief for that too. You have as well. What's your take on the licensing changes that they've made here? We won't go into the details of it because I spoke about those things with Rob Windsor a couple of weeks ago. So listeners definitely know about it. Let's just assume everybody knows about it.
Okay. So we and actually at Prague, I had done a survey with Christian Buckley. Mm-hmm. It was kind of to get a poll from people like, what are your thoughts on the changes? How does it impact you? Because we're really trying to understand what are the impact of these licensing changes to our clients. Because when we go to propose a solution to a client, if we're going to build a statement of work that's going to involve now extra licensing fees because of the changes to licensing, do we even propose that?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times clients, they're not willing to pay that extra cost. And so we have to think of other ways to implement the same functionality. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we've kind of mentioned this before the show. I think right now it is a big blow to those tools. I told you about that, the forms tool I created called Stratus Forms.
I was going to ask you about that. Have you seen a spike in interest?
I've seen a spike in interest there. I've got
just since the beginning of November.
Yes. Yeah. And just this week, we heard from a Fortune 500 company who wants us to come on site and do training in the tool so that they can learn to start building forms with Stratus Forms.
I can understand that because you've got, like, for me personally, I understand the value of what Power Apps can provide. I understand the value of now it's called Power Automate, what it can provide. But there's no way I'd go anywhere near either one of those tools because now in the last year, the only thing that's been consistent is the radical changes in licensing and costs that now you really have no idea when you go into a project. You have no idea what that project's going to cost by the time you finish it. And doing that with a customer, it's like, I mean, I can't give them any kind of guidance, but just like, hey, grip it and rip it and, you know, add 300% because you don't know if it's going to be more expensive, less expensive. Then they come out with a change they're going to say, oh, we're going to, you know, do licensing a different way and we're going to let you do shadow IT and let people buy their own licenses. And they get this huge negative backlash and then turns on, like, okay, we will make it so that you can block people from doing that. And so it's just like, it seems like that the licensing and the business side of Power Apps and Power Automate is just flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah, and I'm also one of those people, I'm one of the few people in the world who did not mind the licensing. They're going to allow the business to buy their own licenses.
Yeah.
I wish they had not turned that off.
Why?
Because as we start to work with more and more organizations and Office 365 gets used more and more, we are finding that IT is no longer our customer. Our customer is HR. Our customer is the tax department. Our customer is accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And accounting needs a form and workflow. But because of the wonderful silos that always exist, we still have those silos in IT. And no, we're not going to turn on Power Apps and Flow. We don't want to support it, so we're not going to let you use it.
Mm.
So now they're back to, well, the tools exist, but IT's not letting them use it.
Mm.
So if I understand there would be a governance nightmare by allowing people to do that, but there's a nightmare of work not getting done because IT is not letting them get done.
It's the no organization.
Yeah.
IT is the no organization. No, you can't do that.
No, nope.
You can't do that.
Nope.
That's interesting. This episode is sponsored by Raygun. Raygun provides full stack, error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed and accuracy, a product manager drowning in bug reports, or you're just concerned you're losing customers due to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with the answers. Get full stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time that you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your code base, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com and get up and running within minutes and dramatically improve the online experience of your users. Back to the show. One thing that you and I have both noticed this week. We were talking about this before the show. You made a really good observation on this, or I guess not an observation. We more observation. Then we started asking each other this question. We wanted to kind of pitch this a bit and raise it. But what I've noticed in the dev sessions so far this week, I sat in a couple of them yesterday. So I wasn't here the first day of workshops. I was here for the second day of workshops. I did a full day workshop, decent attendance. You did a half day workshop on the second day. Right? Your attendance, how was it?
It was low.
Low, yeah. Okay.
But I was also going head to head against you.
I get that a lot. I'm just kidding. Then you had I had a session yesterday morning on introduction to the SharePoint framework. You did a session immediately after that for people who are more in the jQuery development, client-side JavaScript injection camp that wanted to learn about going from JavaScript injection type techniques over into like the SharePoint framework, more structured kind of client-side dev stuff. Attendance in my session seemed really, really light. Attendance in your session seemed really light as well. I was there, ducked in a couple other dev sessions. I mean, we're only on the second day of the conference, and I know that it's light here, but I watched it last week as well. I watched it a little bit somewhat at Ignite as well. Dev seemed a little light. Yep. Attendance did, at least.
Well, attendance at this conference is not light.
It's not light, no.
Attendance in the actual development sessions, from what we've seen, poked our heads in, we're light. And I did a session yesterday on project management and teams, and it was standing room only.
Yeah, and the sessions that are like, I saw there was a workshop on the same day that you and I were doing our workshops, and it was all about Flow and Power Automate and stuff like that. It was jam-packed.
Yeah.
Right, are we seeing like more of like more of the power user kind of like stuff being more popular than the dev side, even more than, you know, is it starting to hurt like the citizen developer even stuff even too? Or what do you think?
So I am going to make a thought process, and I'm curious with the...
I didn't know you were capable of that. I'm just kidding.
So this is the... And this is what I call why they don't
like
friend.
I wonder why they don't like... Why people think we don't like each other.
I have no idea. So I'm going to just throw this out there. Moving to the SharePoint framework is not a simple process for those who came from the script injection world. And that's where client-side development really took off.
Until they go to our workshop in D.C.
Well, until they go to our workshop. That's going to be different. That's going to be the turning point of this whole story.
We're going to turn it around. It's going to take a couple months, about 4 months, but we'll be good.
And thanks to SP services, like, you know, any Tom, Dick, and Harry could write applications in SharePoint.
Why do you always exclude women?
Because...
Go on, Mark.
Because they're smarter than us and...
Go on, Mark.
Okay.
It's quite the sexist statement, though, that you can't even... I don't think that Mark built the SP services with just gentlemen in mind.
Well...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think how to recover from this. I have no idea how to recover. Okay.
That's why I went down this path.
Yeah.
We actually have a peanut gallery now, too.
Thanks, guys. So anyway, the barrier to entry to client-side development and a lot of citizen development was very, very low prior to the SharePoint framework. When the SharePoint framework came out, you really needed to be a developer. There's no citizen development about the SharePoint framework.
That's fair.
And then moving to Power Apps and Flow, it's very much awesome citizen developer, but then they pulled the rug out from under them with the licensing and making it prohibitive.
Right.
So, and then as we've seen in our sessions, I've seen more of the non-technical sessions get more pop, you know, they seem to be growing, mm-hmm. while the technical sessions are a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. So people who don't know how to code can do things like, you know, Power BI. They don't need to write code to do that or be technical. So I'm just curious, are we seeing a decline or barriers to citizen development? Mm-hmm. Is that changing in front of us? Is there now a greater, you know, is it power user and deep developer? And then the whole concept of citizen development is losing in SharePoint, even though that's kind of like one of the foundations of it getting here.
Did you poke your head in any of the sessions last week to kind of see to any of the dev sessions last week and see if it was we saw something similar to that?
Because no, I didn't. No.
I looked a little bit. It was a little bit lighter than I would have expected. Granted, generally I find the European technical audience to be more advanced at a conference than being like more. I find that kind of like the average starts at about 300 level. Whereas at a European conference, I find that I find that it starts at a 300 level. Whereas in the US, I find a developer audience kind of seems to start more at the 150, 100, 200 level. at a conference.
That's the exchange rate with the euro, I think.
Oh, is it? Yeah. It is? Okay, it's exchange rate on the technical way. Yeah. But we were in Prague, man. It should have been like really low.
Well, if you look at even the things that are squarely citizen development, like the column formatter, these are, you can get to exceptionally complicated JSON objects to format your list view. And although there's lots of samples you can copy and paste from, are people who aren't technical going to really be taking advantage of that? You know, maybe thanks to awesome sessions like mine, they can figure it out. But are they going to figure it out on their own? I don't know.
You need me.
No, and I don't think system development is really dying, but I think it's changing. I think their place in this Office 365 world is changing. And I think it's a little more narrow.
It's going to be interesting to watch over the next 6 months and stuff. Now with some of the stuff that we've seen, I'm curious to see what the fallout is from this whole Flow Power Platform licensing changes that they made, which I mean really is just Power Automate or Flow and Power Apps is where the real changes have been.
Right.
Right. Not so much in the Power BI side.
No. So it's only the Power Apps and Flow. And again, I like to point out that if you're staying in the SharePoint world, if you're connecting to just SharePoint sources, for the most part, the licensings, they're not going to affect you. You can still customize your form in SharePoint using Power Apps, and you can still call flows and execute flows in SharePoint. As long as you stay in your SharePoint Office 365 bubble, you're safe from a lot of those.
But how much, so your organization has done more of this than I have. So how much do you see of that? I mean, I've seen more people trying to build like applications using Power Apps that you're not just talking to SharePoint sources, you're talking to other sources as well. And so you are going to flow, you know, fall right into that premium license type stuff.
Well, and that's the problem. Like, we always like, oh, we've got Power Apps and we've got Azure SQL, so we can have a real relational database and build a real application.
And a real invoice.
Right. And now, well, that's now premium.
Yeah.
And even in the SharePoint world, all the time we were using the HTTP custom action. I mean, that was like used all over the place.
Right.
And now that's premium. Yes. So even having a flow call another flow used to be something we did all the time. Well, now it's premium. There's not a, I don't know of a way to have a flow call another flow right now without it using something that's premium.
Man, it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of plays out, see how it goes. Like, it's going to be interesting to see like at this conference, the next install of this conference in DC, right? DC's next?
Yeah. DC's next. And DC. The interesting thing about DC is I always have a big crowd in DC in my developer sessions.
If you don't say so yourself.
Well, compared to yours, I mean, sorry, I was comparing us again.
No. But I mean, it's a different
crowd.
It's a different crowd because it's much more on the government and the public sector type stuff. So yeah, it is a little different. So it'll be curious. It'll be really curious to see how things are going around that time.
So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if I'm like on the cusp of having a good idea, or whether it's just a blip and I don't know what I'm talking about. So yeah,
it might just be really cold.
It might be really cold. Some developers don't like cold or sunshine.
I like sunshine. Awesome. Well, hey, before we wrap this up, anything else you want to share with our listeners, or any calls to actions of things that they should go take a look at? You definitely have a podcast that people should go take a look at or listen to.
Yeah, the podcast is techsplaining.net. Yep. We will be recording another show hopefully very shortly. It's a fun podcast. It's very conversational, and we don't go too deep technically on it. So it's just more to keep people informed and help them with their daily struggles with stuff.
Cool.
I also have a conference I've talked about on the show before.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're doing that again next year.
So I am. It's called the North American Collaboration Summit.
Where is that?
It is in Branson, Missouri.
And when is that?
It is April 2nd and 3rd, with an optional third day of workshops on April 4th.
Ah, so workshops are after the conference, not
workshops
before?
Workshops are after the conference.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and the workshops are also on a Saturday. So it's like, you know what, if you want your weekend, you can have it. But if you want to take advantage of the great workshops, you know, that are really inexpensive, you can do that as well.
This is a great conference. I've been there, been involved in it once. It is great attendees, very engaging. Everyone's very appreciative. The speakers that show up, and really good conversations too from the attendees. So you do a really good job at that show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we've got some good things. The attendee party is going to be bigger this year. We got Microsoft is actually sponsoring this year. So,
oh, neat.
Yeah, so we're growing slowly but steadily, but not getting too big. It's a nice location. You can walk around. You know, even there, you can walk around everywhere once you get there.
Yeah,
the speakers are really friendly. The attendees are awesome. So yeah, I really enjoy doing the event. And I'll also even create a discount code for your MS Cloud Show listeners.
Oh, sweet.
So, if they'll use the coupon code of MS Cloud Show, they can save 30%. And that's, you know, that sounds like a lot, but it's only $50 because it's a nonprofit event. I don't make any money on it. So
how much is the registration?
Registration is $150.
So you say $50. That is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. It's a lot of coffees, like three coffees at Starbucks.
Exactly. And the hotels are cheap there too. So it's like you can go there, send your entire team for what it would cost to send one person to Ignite or something. I mean,
it's true. And you have better access to people too and getting really good answers and stuff. So that's really cool. You got it's a great regional show, right, to get for that area. So especially if you're a business in that area, it's a great option for you to be able to learn more stuff about what's going on in the industry.
We get people heavily from Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and even Illinois. Mm. That's where most of our people come from. Then we have a lot that fly in as well. So if you're in driving distance, it's a no-brainer to go. If you're going to fly, if you fly into the Springfield Airport, which is SGF for the code, we're offering a shuttle from the airport to the conference this year. So
very cool.
Make it a little bit easier to get there. And you can stay at the hotel down the street for, I think, $80, or you can stay at the conference hotel for like $150.
So it's a nice hotel, too.
It's a nice hotel. It's a Hilton Convention Center. It's on the lake in Branson Landing. So it's a great place.
Very cool. And then you also said Stratus Forms. That was your form solution that is a good option when you're not going to charge an arm and a leg on the licensing form.
Right. It's free to use. And I have a modern web part, so you can put a Stratus Forms form on a modern SharePoint page now. And then you could use, what I like to tell people about that have been like hurt by the flow licensing, especially those using the HTTP custom actions. Look at using Logic Apps. I mean, those are a very inexpensive alternative to creating a flow. And it's amazing how many people don't know about them.
Yeah, a Logic App. Flow is Logic Apps. Yes. It's just a UI on top of it.
Exactly.
Well, and a hell of a licensing model, too.
And the thing, if you create a Logic App, it's identical to creating a flow. Yeah. I mean, you can do more to extend it, but if you just take away the advanced stuff, it is just a flow.
Yeah.
And the licensing is such where if I did the math correctly, so
That's okay. We'll have our fact check department make sure you're okay.
I appreciate that. But if you execute 10,000 actions a month on a Logic App, it costs 17.5 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I mean, so if you really need those HTTP custom actions, using a Logic App instead of a flow. Yeah. And there, I've just saved you guys a bunch of money so you can send your rebate checks to Mark Brackley.
You can use the money that they're saving to go to the Branson
show.
That's
true. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, save a ton of money. And you still have a lot of money left over using the code from the podcast.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Mark, how can people find you? How can they reach you?
So they can find my blog post, markbrackley.net. They can go to my company's website, paitgroup.com. That's spelled paitgroup.com. I'm on Twitter at mrackley. Don't add me on Facebook if you don't know me. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
And apparently your phone's texting like crazy too, so I can give them their cell phone number. You'll definitely get the text. Yeah. Your seat over here is like just dinging nonstop.
Yeah, I think we can thank Rob Foster for that one.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. It's been fun talking to you again today.
Thanks for having me.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find out about our show and grow the audience, and we would really appreciate it. If you got a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3 and provide a link to it so that we can play your question on the show. You can also subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, in the Google Play Store, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website, microsoftcloudshow.com. You'll get notices of each new episode as well as the show notes sent directly to you each week. We'll be back with another episode next week. Thanks for listening.